Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you once again for joining us here at Exploring Energy Radio. I'm your host, Laura Ezekiel, and tonight our guest, Candice Marie, will help us explore the fascinating and healing world of Tantra. Candice is certified in the sacred tradition of Tantra energy work. She guides her clients to experience self-fulfillment, intimate honesty, and a blissful life. She is the owner and operator of Doorway to Bliss in New Hampshire, formerly known as Temple of Bliss. In a moment, we'll meet Candice, but I want to give you a quote that she has given us on Tantra. She says that Tantra brings life into all that you do. Tantra heals. Tantra awakens. And Tantra is a way to live life fully. Tantra has the keys to bliss. Let's go ahead and welcome Candice onto the show. Hi, Candice. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I think I spoke with you a little bit earlier today that we're both under the influence of a cold or something coming through. So I'm a little bit off the game. But welcome to the show. I'm really excited to have you here and to just learn more about Tantra myself, as well as help our audience understand Tantra. I think there's a possibly a misunderstanding of Tantra, I think, in the West. And one of the things that I'd like first to discuss is, please tell us about your business, first of all, where you're located, and just how you got into Tantra in the first place.
Let me clear the fog out of my throat. my business is in the process of transition, as you know. It's always evolving and growing, and I'm continually taking new courses and training so I can bring more to everybody. But it's very broad and expansive, and it's just that's what Tantra is. You know, Tantra isn't just one aspect of who we are or one aspect of our living. It's emotional, it's mental, it's physical, it's spiritual, and it's sexual. It's everything. And so if you take all those into consideration, you would be led to think that, wow, that's a lot. And so that's what my practice is. And sometimes it's a little confusing to people. They're like, well, what exactly do you do? And there's a lot that I do. There's no real cookie-cutter solution. So anybody who comes to me, you know, first we figure out what shape is their cookie, you know. And then every session is personally molded towards each individual client or student needs. And it's always centered around tantric practices. In other words, for people to understand, it's very meditative, very spiritual, very yogic. It involves a lot of breathing, a lot of being centered in your body, communicating with your body, communicating with yourself and with your inner self, your higher self, your, we call it witness consciousness, and learning how to connect with others as well. A lot of people use Tantra in their love life, in their sex life, however you want to call it. That's generally how a lot of people find Tantra, and then they realize, whoa, it's actually so much more than that. But not everybody gets there. So, and that's kind of what happened for me. You know, I was on a spiritual journey for a while, really trying to heal. Had a lot of sexual wounds, emotional wounds, just a lot of stuff. And I found healing on every level, but I never really healed that sexual aspect of who I was and rediscovered that even after being sexually abused and disassociating from my lower half of my body, that I could actually enjoy what's going on in my body again. And I was on the right track spiritually. I was getting to know who I was in my heart. I was getting to know who I was on every other level. But that other aspect of me was pushed to the side, the sexual aspect. If I don't look at that, I'm not going there. There's just too much stuff. And I needed to go there, and I needed to find a healthy way to go there. And as usual, I usually find the unhealthy way, and then I discover the healthy way. That's my story. Yeah. That's how it goes throughout my life. So I was on the spiritual journey, and you know, I was meditating, doing yoga. I was chanting, engaging in a lot of Buddhist practices, discovering who Candace really was. And then it was an unconscious transition, like, whoa, wait, hold on. Like, I'm engaging in, like, all these spiritual practices, and I'm engaging in sex, but what's going on? It wasn't really something I was aware of or I knew
about.
They
were more still separate.
Yes. I was finally starting to enjoy it a little, you know, but I never really, I didn't have a name for my sexual self. I wasn't connected to that aspect of who I was. It was just something I did. You know what I mean? It wasn't even, it was just so meaningless and shallow. And so I went off on a journey to try to figure out who I was sexually. And I kind of got lost, to be honest. And I got lost, and I lost the spiritual side of myself because sexuality can be just like a drug. And I'm also a recovering drug addict. That's what led me to the spiritual path, is trying to get off drugs. And sex was another one. So I shouldn't even say sex because it's not the act of sex itself. It's the energy. You know, like normal people
right.
would call it horny. If you feel horny.
right.
So that energy of being horny, it can be a drug. It can be very intoxicating.
Absolutely.
And it can lead you to some places you probably would not have wanted to go if you didn't, you know, if you knew how to work with that energy. So that's
right.
what happened to me. I didn't know how to work with that energy, and I kind of went off the deep end. And but eventually I met somebody. Well, first I realized that I was going down the wrong path. And I felt so empty. I felt lost, empty, and deprived. There were certain parts of me that were being healed through discovering my sexual side. But it was very void because I didn't have the balance of the spiritual side as well, which for me is
right.
what I need. Not everybody, but for me. And so when I decided that I, you know, unconsciously, just another unconscious decision that happens in my life, that this wasn't working for me and I wanted to try something new, the universe put some beautiful person in my path. And this is when I started trying to integrate the two, you know, spirituality and sexuality. And they were like, hey, you know, what you're thinking about and what you're doing, it actually exists out there and there's a name for it. And he mentioned
right.
Tantra. And so, you know, from that moment on, this was at least 2 years ago. At least 2 years ago. From that moment on, I've been on a quest to redefine what sexuality means to me and how it's also a spiritual practice.
Right.
How to bring all that I am together instead of compartmentalizing myself. It's all one thing, you know. And yeah, so that's how I
yeah, that's a lot of work there. That's a lot of work. And that's amazing. And congratulations on everything that you have done for yourself and still honoring
you.
Yourself. I mentioned earlier, I said that, you know, in the West, I noticed that when I've mentioned Tantra to some of my clients, the first thing they think is everyone sitting around naked having sex with each other. And I'm like, no, that's not Tantra. What Tantra is a spiritual healing and sexual practice, or it does not have to necessarily be sexual. It's all about the individual. And can you tell us the difference between what we understand as white Tantra and red Tantra?
Yeah. Just like genres of music, there's genres of Tantra. And people find the path that works for them. How you can separate the genres of Tantra would be red, white, and pink. Red Tantra tends to be very much of the physical realm, very much hands-on, very genital-focused. And then, you know, then you jump all the way to the other side of the spectrum of white Tantra. And everybody has their own ways, you know what I mean? But now I'm giving you, like, the ultimate, you know, the ultimate version of red Tantra. And the ultimate version of white Tantra is very much on the spiritual side. Some people that are white Tantra practitioners do not engage in sex at all. And they generally, they may not even play with sexual energy. And if they do, it's all on an energetic level. It's very much spiritual, not of the physical realm, but of the energetic spiritual realm. And then there's
right.
That's where they
okay.
come together. That's where it's balanced.
Okay. So I'm kind of seeing in my mind a scale of like red's on one side, white's on the other, and pink would be somewhere in the middle. And so it's experiencing. So in your definition and, you know, from what you've learned, what exactly is Tantra? What does it have to do with Kundalini? What does it have to do with the energetic? What does it have to do with the physical? It's a healing practice, but what is it really?
I can only tell you what I found it to be for me and what I believe it to be. A lot of people use the word Kundalini, but because I'm not like super educated on Kundalini, I stay away from that word. But from what I hear from others, it does have a close, like we are working with Kundalini energy. The Kundalini energy is our lower chakra energy. So it's the same thing. I just don't use the word Kundalini because there's so many different interpretations, so many definitions, and people talk about Kundalini
right.
awakenings that make you go crazy, and I don't speak on what I don't know. So
yeah.
it's, you know, tantra is one of those things where it can get confusing because it is so much. And it is so much with so many different people. You know, there are some people who really only practice tantra in the bedroom. Then there are people who practice it every day as a part of their morning ritual. And it doesn't mean they're touching themselves. It doesn't mean they're actually having sex. They're working with their internal energy. It's like energetic sex. And that's where the redefining of sex comes in. It's about enjoying being in your body, reconnecting to your own body. Learning how to, one of the huge thing in tantra is moving energy through your body. We do a lot of work, like, in the spiritual world with Reiki. Everybody knows what Reiki is. And, you know, there's a practitioner that comes in and they work with your chakras. Me, as a tantra practitioner, I teach people how to do to themselves or for others what a Reiki practitioner would do for them. And the Reiki practitioner summons forth the energy of the universe. We all are capable of that, you know, just some of us are attuned. Now, with tantra, it teaches us how to move energy through our body to work through those blockages and get the energy flowing so those spinning wheels that people would call chakras are moving steadily and they're opening up. And it's not just like a lot of Reiki stuff is, it's very... mystical, almost, like, so you don't even need to touch anybody. Tantra can be that, but it's also very active. We do a lot of stillness stuff, but we also do a lot of active stuff. Like, a lot of the practices, there's a lot of techniques and a lot of practices. And it usually involves the breath or a movement or a visualization or a sound. So it's very, it's much more active. Like, you become a participant in your own healing journey, and you become a witness to what's going on inside your body and get the energy flowing so it can continuously flow up and out and through you. And the lower, I mean, if you think about it, the lower chakra energy, kundalini energy, whatever you call it, that's like our base, that's our root, that's where. So if that isn't, you know, working, then it's kind of hard to go through the whole thing. And then another reason why... and this is the unfortunate thing. Tantra does have a strong sexual notion, but that does not mean genitals or, you know, we're all having sex. And if you do, cool, whatever, you know, you do what you want. It doesn't have to be that. Sexual energy is our life force energy. We all come from sexual energy. So there's no reason why we need to shun it, hide it, or deny that it exists and not talk about it. Yes, in tantra, we do a lot of work with our sexual energy. It's our vital, it's our vitality. It keeps us young. It keeps us alive. It keeps us feeling good. It's powerful. It's very powerful. And so that's we do a lot of work with that.
I think this is an awesome segue into when we're talking about energetics and what that actually means, and, you know, the whole idea, like, this is exploring energy radio. What is energy? Everyone has their own personal energy, their own vibration. Everything has energy. We say that a lot on this show. But the idea of sexual energy is a creative energy. It's not just about the creative energy of creation in the form of a human being, but taking that energy and creating other things in our lives, such as healing or self-fulfillment, you know, having bliss in our lives. So we say using sexual energy to connect and create. So it's energy, but it doesn't have to be necessarily physical. And it's energy that is also doesn't necessarily just have to be energetic. When you're talking about being in your body and experiencing that healing and being witness to that, one of the things I think that a lot of practitioners of energy previous to recently have always talked about was this enlightenment happening where we would literally, our spirit would be out of our body. And thinking that if we were out of our body, then we were closer to enlightenment. We were more into the spiritual realm. In truth, the spirit needs to be in the body experiencing. So when we talk about tantra, because that's exactly the disconnect that happens from, you know, things like abuse that you mentioned, or,
you know, just miseducation about sex and sexuality and what sexual energy is, what physical is together, and what that means and how you use it. And there's so many, I mean, I really know that a lot of people, when they hear Tantra, they immediately think, okay, kinky sex, here we go. That's they're interested in. And they don't get the whole piece of, okay, Tantra is about internal work on the self and work with a partner if you so choose to. And, you know, as you mentioned when you first came on the show, there are so many aspects to it and so many practices to it and a lot of education. So where does a person start if they, you know, say someone like me is coming to you and I want to do some spiritual healing, some physical healing from past trauma, where would I start in all of this?
Well, I'm glad you gave me like a place to go with it, because it, where everybody starts depends on where they are. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If somebody came to me and they had stuck energy in their body, they had some trauma, they had some healing. I've been to Source School Tantra Yoga, and I've also been to Ipsilu Tantra International. Sorry, I always have trouble saying that. And the one of the Ipsilu practices we go through, first we have the cobra breath, and that I can't teach anybody. You have to be initiated and go through a process. But there's like other breaths that simulate or do other things. And another one is the fire breath. And then we have dynamic meditation. And so that's one of the practices I would probably teach you. It's high energy. It gets things moving. I don't know how to really explain it. You know, it's an actual physical practice, something you do with your physical body and your breath. You know, I mean, if you're doing it on your own, you can do it on your own, or you can do it with somebody guiding you and coaching you through the experience. So if somebody had, you know, actual trauma issues, then that's probably one of the first things I would teach them, or give them a daily practice to work on. Depending on their exact issues are, I would find the right practices for them to do. And then I also, I'm a fan of writing assignments. I also have a background in counseling. I went to school for addictions counseling for a while and worked in the counseling field for 6 years. So I have all this other stuff that I bring to the table with that as well. But somebody who has trauma, it's so hard to, like, tell you, because if the person's not sitting in front of me and I can't feel their energy, you know what I mean? Because it's not like I say, oh, you have trauma, so that means you need to do this. The only one thing I could really say is definitely dynamic meditation and fire breath. Dynamic meditation is something derived from Osho. And fire breath, I think that came straight from Bodhi Avinasha, who is, I'm not sure, but I know it's in the books of Ipsilu. That's one definite thing I would bring to people who are dealing with trauma. During sessions, depending on where the trauma lives in their body, I will do some work on that specific part of their body and teach them how to do work, especially like say somebody has sexual trauma and they have stored energy stuck in there, I mean, in your yoni, your vagina, whatever you want to call it, and you just do not have a healthy relationship with your vagina. I'm just saying you, because you said you, and we're not talking about you.
Well, who else are you going to be?
I would teach them how to create a healthy, loving relationship between them and their vagina, their yoni. So, you know, if the trauma.
So being more comfortable with the body also.
Yeah, it depends on, you know, each individual person. You know, a lot of.
So it's very individualized. It's very. It depends on every person in their personal needs, their personal experiences, and what they're really looking for. And where they want to go, because there's no place that anyone has to go that they don't want to.
No. And I let everybody lead. You know what I mean? Everybody leads. Mm-hmm. I tell people, like, well, we'll have a plan, but if you come in one day, we go on where you're at that day, you know?
Right.
But it varies so much. Like, you know, people coming with sexual trauma or just emotional wounds, like, altogether. I have a couple I'm working with, and they're trying to learn how to open up their relationship and still keep the
right.
love inside. And
mm-hmm.
then I have, you know, a guy that I've been working with who doesn't have a relationship with his genitals. He doesn't like them. And a lot of men struggle, especially, you know, when ED happens, erectile
mm-hmm.
dysfunction. They start creating a negative relationship and communication, and then it just makes it worse.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and physical pain. I have a client I work with that has physical pain, and it works really, really well. I don't know. I can't
right.
tell you exactly what it is, you know, but there's a lot that I do. I do a lot of sound healing as well that helps him in the physical
pain. Vibration.
Mm-hmm.
The
yeah.
sound healing.
Yeah.
And that's come up recently for me, that vibrational healing is so important, and we look at different modalities of healing, but in other forms of healing, it's not so much directed at, I'd say, partnership as well, because we all go, say we go to a therapist, or we go to, you know, someone for Reiki, or we're working on ourselves, but we don't bring in another person. And in a lot of aspects of, you were talking about, you work with couples who want to work on their relationship or their sex life or just healing old wounds or whatever it is that they need. And they're able to do this in a very safe, it's sort of like counseling, couples counseling, but in a whole different way. Yeah, in a whole different way, whereas you're getting to the core. You're not just talking about the things, you're actually getting to the energetic core of the actual situation. So
with this couple, we do a lot of talking, and then we go through some practices together, and then we also revisit on the phone. Excuse me, I didn't get a drink.
You okay?
No. Yeah.
I took like a 2-hour nap before the show. I'm like, oh. it's beautiful that spring is here, but here comes the spring cold. But I'll take that. I'd rather have the cold and have spring here than not have spring. So
yeah,
funny.
Yeah.
You know, over the
beautiful.
Winter, we're all avoiding getting sick, and then we get sick as soon as spring hits. But, you know, I had – you okay? You want to get some water?
Yeah. You just keep talking
right.
while I walk and get
okay,
my water.
Okay, I'll keep talking. So I've known Candace for a while. She's a lovely person. She's truly someone who has come through some obstacles in her life to become a person who is seeking out energetic fulfillment as well as healing within herself, and in turn has turned it over to helping other people, which is something I always applaud. How you doing over there, Candace?
All right.
All right. I've been interested in Tantra for a few years now, but I haven't really gone ahead and done anything with it. And I think that it's a great idea for people to explore for themselves, because there is so much misinformation. But I do want to ask you, so what if I'm just a person who wants to experience better sex? Is that something that I come to you for?
Yeah, I do, unfortunately, well, I shouldn't say unfortunately, I do get a lot of calls that are very sexually related, and that's okay. And what I do tell people, though, when they call, I said, I want you to understand that, yes, I'm going to help you create a magical sex life, but that's going to involve some things that are of the spiritual realm. They may be very foreign to you and to your body, but you just got to trust the process. We're going to be
mm-hmm.
doing some weird breathing things that you're not going to see as sexual at all. You know, a lot
mm-hmm.
of the stuff that we do to enhance our sex lives doesn't look sexual, you know. So you know, we can definitely, I definitely work with people who are just looking to amp up things sexually. And I bring in, you know, the tantric education in the background to create magic sexually. But of course, we revisit what's going on. You know what I mean? What's going on that's, you know, because even if you do all this stuff, if I give you all these great tools to amp up what's present, if there's stuff that's also present that you need to get past, then we need to really address that first. Like stress. Some people just want to have a great sex life. but the rest of their life is like, but they don't want to work on that. And then not realizing that the rest of that is just got to look at the whole big picture.
Whole picture, yeah. And do you find that people are more apt to want to do that work, or they just want an easy fix to the situation?
Oh, it varies. Yeah, it really does vary. You know, I have have some clients that come through, and they're so genuine, and they're like, you know what, whatever you say, and they do the practices, and they really, really like it. And then some, they just want to hop in the bed and have everything be honky-dory.
And with anything in life, you have to do the work that goes with it. And you know, and that's what I say about the, you know, because I was just looking on the internet, you know, I wanted to get sort of an idea of what misinformation is out there. And I see this whole write-up in Cosmopolitan magazine about Tantra and sizzling sex. And, you know, and it's just they're kind of exploiting the whole idea of what it is. And, you know, but, you know, if you don't communicate with your partner, or you're not communicating with yourself in an honest way, if you don't know, when you said that you started on your journey, who was Candace, and you had to find out who that was. How do you have the intimate honesty with yourself or with another, especially another person, until you start believing that everything is more connected, you know, than just that one physical experience or that one orgasm or whatever it is that you're seeking? When you said that sex can be an addiction, I totally understand that, you know, and for people who suffer from depression or have had other addictions before, it's very easy to get into a place where that's all you want is that feel-good moment. So kind of the balance in life is the whole picture.
Yeah, you lose the journey because you're just trying to get to the end.
Right, you're just trying to get into, you know, where's my orgasm, or where's my, you know, my endorphin release, and that's all I want from this.
Yep.
But so where would someone go to experience, you know, like where would they, how would they contact you at your, give out your, is your website up yet? Is it all set?
No, my new one isn't, so it's still just TempleOBliss.com.
TempleOBliss.com. Okay.
Yeah, not Temple of.
No,
just O. TempleOBliss.
Right, gotcha.
I like it, but then Eric was like, ooh, oh.
Oh, yeah.
It's okay, though.
Hilarious.
Is it okay if we revisit something you just said?
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
Okay. You're talking about the balance. And another great thing about Tantra is the balancing of masculine and feminine energy.
Oh, good.
We all have masculine and feminine energy in us. And men have a harder time being in touch with their feminine, and that's why they don't understand us, and we don't understand why they understand us, and blah, 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 blah. And women are much more versatile. You know what I mean? It's very easy for us to get our masculine. And most women of today are much more in their masculine than they're on their feminine, which makes it even scarier for men. Because we're scary as it is, as women, we're all emotional and crazy and wild. And then we get masculine, and then we're like, rawr, and it's too much for them. It's way too much for them. So we both, you mean, a lot of the breathing techniques that we do and the practices that we do, it's this magical thing that happens. You meet, like I've met men that understand my needs as a woman, you know. And I've met women who are so balanced. You mean, I feel like I'm very balanced with my masculine and feminine. And I can relate to being that girl who very much gets in their masculine because it's safe there. I'm strong. I'm powerful. I'm can conquer everything, and I don't need anybody. And but a woman too much in the masculine definitely loses touch with what's going on in their body. It's one of those things. So another great thing about Tantra is balancing out that energy. You were also talking about the misconceptions. The misconception, I think, is just the over-sexualization, you know, and I haven't read the Cosmo thing, but a lot of books in America are about tantra sex positions, or a lot of people want that long orgasm, and it's possible, you know, but everybody's just shooting for that, but that's kind of, that's why I love that I went to the different schools of tantra, and I plan on going to another one, because they all have their own perceptions. The big thing in the tantric community is sacred spot massage. But
can you say
all
it again?
Stuff,
sacred what?
Sacred
say
spot
it again.
Massage.
Okay, sacred spot massage. Yeah.
Sacred
okay.
spot massage. Yeah. You know, for women, it's inside, basically going towards their G spot, and for men, it's inside their root chakra, their anus, whatever you want to call it. And it's very healing work. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. But it's without everything else, it's very void. You know, I'm educated on sacred spot work, and I teach sacred spot work. But I wouldn't teach it without teaching a bunch of other things, too, you know. It's a big thing in the tantric community. Everybody just wants to go and stick their fingers inside things.
So you don't want to put the cart before the horse, so to speak.
Yeah,
you want the education.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah,
you think,
like
want the education
said,
that comes with it.
Yeah. It's a starting point for a lot of people. And honestly, that was my starting point. That's what I learned first. You know, but that's because that's what's the most known and the most readily available as far as information goes. When you want to look up tantric information, you Google it, the first things that come up, you know, are going to be the more hands-on physical red stuff. And then, you know, you go to maybe the second page of Google and you'll probably find the other stuff. Or,
Yeah, I really did want to bring the light to that, the fact that, you know, tantra can be a very spiritual experience without sex, because I don't think a lot of people understand that. I don't think they understand that the energy work involved is truly enlightening in a way that transcends both physical and what we know of spirit right now. It heightens everything, correct?
Yeah, and it doesn't actually have to involve actual sex. You mean like...
Right.
I'll get a little personal here. When I first started doing tantra, I was amazed. I learned how to experience orgasm without any physical stimulation at all whatsoever. Nobody was touching my body. And that's the kind of stuff that can happen. And that's what sexual energy does, and that's what sexual energy is. But it's not something that happens overnight. It takes practice. It takes really trusting and just being fully present and witnessing what's going on in your body or whoever's body you're with. And like I said, it doesn't even have to involve any sort of contact. It's this beautiful, amazing experience that we're gifted with in our body. And it makes me think of also, you know, I really want to work with the addicted community more, because with like a drug, we're reaching to, we're trying to reach altered states of consciousness when we ingest the substance, alcohol, weed, anything, you know. We just want to feel good. What's wrong with that? It's only natural. It's normal to want to feel good and feel pleasure.
Right.
And that's another reason I love tantra and meditation, all this stuff, because it allows us to reach altered states of consciousness. And like you were saying earlier, without actually having to leave your body in an unhealthy way. Because it's very easy for a lot of people with trauma to leave their body in an unhealthy way. This helps us enjoy being present in our body and get comfortable and not avoid that stuff. Because a lot of times when we have trauma, we like try to push it away, but we need to go there. We need to. We need to witness it. We need to let it fucking flow through us. Ooh, excuse my language. Ah, bleep.
That's okay. That's okay. The show is rated for the whole subject, so don't worry about it.
Okay, good.
You can say it again if you want to.
Yeah, no, I won't.
Okay, it's fine. Yeah.
If you let me too much, then I'll go overboard.
Yeah, but it'll just, yeah, okay.
But, yeah, it's letting that stuff flow through you, which is the swears, which is the yucky stuff, which is all that stuff you don't want to look at that you stuffed. And, you know, you might have taken a pill for it or drank something for it or went shopping instead of looking at it, or maybe you just haven't done anything And it's just right. sitting there inside and waiting for you to look at it.
Yeah, that's I think, you know, the fact that also you're doing this type of healing in a controlled environment with someone who is certified in this energy work, guiding you and helping you to experience what in holding space for you to experience these feelings, whether they be the yucky stuff coming up or it be bliss, or because a lot of us are even afraid to experience bliss, to experience that,
yeah.
that it's as if anything that's too intense, you know, it's, I think it's one way or the other. When we talk about addiction, we're looking for that intensity, and then we want it to be even more intense and more intense and more intense. It never,
yeah.
it never gets enough. And then when we're shut down, we avoid any type of intensity. We just don't want, we box ourselves in to feeling anything, whether it be the pain or the pleasure. So there's that kind of disconnect there. So both ways we're learning to get out of ourselves and get away from ourselves. But Tantra brings you back into almost like, would you say that Tantra can bring you back to acknowledging your body and your spirit from the beginning, the beginning? Because I'm thinking about when we're born and how, you know, immediately we're covered up, or we're shown that, you know, we're either female or male. So we're put into these categories. And
yeah.
then we're taught, you know, if we're small, maybe we're taught, you know, and we're touching our bodies or whatever, we're taught that's naughty or wrong or dirty. I mean, I'm not saying everybody teaches this, God forbid, but I'm saying this has happened to people. And
yeah.
then as, you know, boys are taught that sex is something they should go after. And girls are taught that if they have sex, that makes them bad in some way. I'm just going from experience of, you know, when I was in the 70s anyway, so I'm
yeah,
just saying
no,
that.
Yeah, no, yeah, I yes,
but
it
society
is accurate,
has been very close to the physics. So where do, you know, people learn about their bodies and learn how they function and learn, you know, I remember, you know, thinking sex was wrong for a very long time
yeah.
when I was young.
Well, the only thing we're
because
taught
that's what
I was taught. Is about disease and pregnancy. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So there's a
not
lot of
sex,
shame.
Sexuality,
there's a lot of shame. Mhm. Yeah. There's nothing. It's not like we're taught about pleasure, or joy,
right,
or intimacy,
right.
or respect, dignity,
yeah,
love.
Yeah.
None of that.
You know, I'd have
it's
to say, even
sexual.
When my kids were growing up, I don't think I did the best job teaching them about sexuality because of fear. I think as a parent, you have fear that something bad is going to happen to your child. They, you know, could get pregnant or, you know, hurt or something. So you tell them, you know, no, it's this big taboo thing, and you don't really educate them. But a lot of people are not educated themselves on sex and sexuality. Like I said, it starts from when we're born and we're put into categories and, you know, told certain things about ourselves, and we shut our own selves down. So how do we teach our children? How do we teach that if we don't learn ourselves? You know, so can, I guess my question, I'm not really, am I asking a question, but do you, when we talk about trauma, and I wanted to bring this up because trauma is not necessarily just something that's inflicted upon you in a physical manner, but it's an idea as well.
Yeah, like they talk about the first Owie, you know what I mean, the first original wound. And, you know, yes, for some people, you know what I mean, it's serious, like it's rape, it's my dad raped me, or it's, you know, my brother, or something like that. But others, it may be as simple as your teacher, you know, in kindergarten told you were fat, or the first boy you ever had a crush on didn't like you. And we could hold
mm-hmm.
that forever. It can traumatize us. You know, we're all different, you know. Some of us are really sensitive. Some of us just really aren't affected very much. I think, you know, we all are. We all really are. But so this is, I don't know, it doesn't manifest in some ways as it does for others. But it doesn't have to be that big whoop-de-doo, you know. It can be something as simple as my teacher told me I was fat, you know.
Right.
We hold on to it for years and years.
And everyone's pain is their personal pain. So there's no
mm-hmm.
judgment on what. And I only brought it up because not that I wanted to categorize
pain in any particular way for people, but I didn't want people to feel as if, you know, oh, I was not sexually abused, therefore I don't need healing. I don't need that because, you know, what happened to me was not significant enough.
Yeah.
So that, you know,
just like what you were saying, like, there doesn't, nothing has to have gone wrong, but like we were talking about the education thing, there's a reality that we do not have a relationship with our, a lot of us don't have a relationship with our sexual energy. Nothing ever has happened, but we just, we have no idea what's going on in our body.
Right. Right.
You know, so it's not that, everybody, the word healing, sometimes to some people implies that there's something wrong or there's something broken, but that's not the case. You know what I mean?
No.
We all have stuff, you know, and it doesn't mean anything's wrong or anything's broken. It's just pursuing, enjoying our life better every day. That can, that's a form of healing.
Right. Absolutely.
You know, let's learn how to live our life more full, more free, more happy, more joyous, more pleasure-filled, more peaceful. Let's heal our stressful work life, you know. It doesn't mean, you know, impending doom.
Well, you know, I know that personally for myself, in my energetic work, I have been, I've channeled information about sexual energy. And do I completely understand my channel and what that exactly means? It means to create from this place of sexual energy, that sexual energy isn't what we've made it to be, but that sexual energy has been since the beginning, the energy of creation of beauty. And that would be beauty in the self, beauty in life, beauty around you, whatever that is. It comes up from the root and goes through the crown. That's where it goes. And so as I talk about this, more information will come out because I just said that and not really knowing that. But having that, when we talk about healing and we talk about having this blissful life, we talk about having more of who we are present with the self here in the physical as well as spiritual, you know, doing that work to really understand what's going on is important. I'm going to say that because I have divine love around me, and I know that they want me to say that, that, you know, to not avoid this idea that sex is pure, as it can be. It can be. It's, I don't know how to say this any other way, but it's the original creation of, that's what it is, sexual energy, is how everything is created. Whether in the physical or spiritual. So if you want to create something in your life, this using this particular energy, let's talk about, you know, like more white tantra, just to give this a little space away from sex for a second.
Yeah.
That sexual energy in itself is not necessarily sexual. Does that make any sense?
No, yeah, I understand what you're saying, but that's the hard part right there, is not everybody does, you know what I mean? It's hard, it's almost like I always want to take the word sexual out of it, but I'd be doing a disservice to what it really is, but because of how we have defined the word sex or sexual, you know what I mean, it's very hard, you know? If we say
it is hard.
Creative life force energy, it means
Thank
the same
you.
Thing. It means
That's
the same thing. They basically do. Not everybody would be able to grasp that. But it is.
I think you
it's
need
exactly
to experience. You need to experience what that means. And it's really hard to explain. Like you said, put it into words. I was struggling to put it into words.
Yeah.
But I know that. Yeah. And this is why I've when I come across a person in, you know, my work who has a hard time connecting with people emotionally, I always say, you know, tantra might be a good idea. And they immediately don't understand what I'm getting at. And I have to explain what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You know, they're
everybody
like,
thinks
I don't
I just
know,
have
fun.
Sex with everybody. I can't even
right,
get a
exactly.
PayPal.
I'm like, no.
I can't get a PayPal credit card swiper or a Square account because I teach tantra. And the word sexuality
Seriously.
Is on my website. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That's, yeah. See, that's the conception of what all of this is. and not to even say, I want people to understand, Tantra is sexual and can be sexual and can be beautifully sexual. And,
I'm a Tantra educator, but I do not have sex with my clients. It's possible.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I can't even believe that that would happen, that somebody would deny you to have a service because of the word sexuality or sex.
Yeah.
Or that
there's,
is amazing to me.
There's a website, Spiritual Network, and I can't put the word Tantra on there. They always, it gets flagged and reported every time it's automatic.
Wow.
On Spiritual
Network.
And
that's amazing to me.
Yeah.
That is truly amazing to me.
Wow.
That is amazing to me. I think maybe it's because of the misconception that, you know, people, even in the spiritual, you know, practices are shutting down from that because they don't want this flow of traffic from people who don't understand what Tantra is. I can't imagine they would not want Tantra there. You know what I mean? Like, that's a, it's a healing modality, you know?
And
but
that's
maybe
what I think
because of...
Go ahead. It's interesting because as a spiritual person, I accept and appreciate and understand even those who only practice Tantra in the bedroom. And it doesn't make them any less spiritual than anybody else.
Right.
But because of the over-sexualization, it's kind of being shunned, you know?
Well, I
it's
mean...
It's just so interesting.
If you went to, you know, a therapist for counseling as a couple, I'm sure you're going to be talking about your sex life.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be part of it, right? So we acknowledge that as helpful in healing, but what's the difference between going to someone who is a counselor in Tantra? Energy work.
Yeah.
Nothing. There's no difference.
Voodoo.
Voodoo, voodoo, this is part of the reason why I really wanted you on the show is because I know how people can heal through sexual energy. And I know I've had a personal experience with sexual energy as a healing that had nothing to do with any type of practice. It was just came to me, and I don't know if it was Kundalini rising or it was, you know, awakening, whatever it was, but it seriously healed me in ways that I never expected. Now, on the other side, I think that I could use, you know, courses in Tantra because to balance out my own personal energy and to kind of complement the healing that I've already had, that to me was just a beginning. And having the spiritual journey and having this, you know, idea of my physical body and in working with that together, I think would be great for me. So, you know, so I want people to understand, well, you know, it's not up to me to what people understand, but it would be nice if people could get a better idea of how they could use this in their lives to change things that they're not necessarily happy with. Or, I mean, people don't go to counseling or therapy or healers because they're perfectly happy with everything and they don't want to change anything. You know what I mean? They come when they have a need. So, you know, getting the word out there that Tantra is physically and spiritually healing and that it is, you know, something that you could do for yourself. You don't have to be a couple to go, you know, you don't have to be in a partnership to go. Something you do for yourself spiritually or physically, it doesn't matter as long as you understand that it's about you, right?
Yeah, it is. It's an individual thing. I'm officially kind of single now, and I still practice Tantra.
Right.
But a lot of, you know, there are a lot of couples that just practice it as a couple thing, as an us thing.
Right. And
it's
very, very, very common.
Yeah,
I think
it's
beautiful.
Great for couples.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing for
right.
couples, but it's just as good for the individual, you know?
Yeah. And so many people forget to connect on, you know, whether it's physically or spiritual, they forget that there's something other than just the body connecting and the act
of sex itself between people. So this is a good way, I guess, to bring people to a place, because that's another thing we're never taught. We're never really taught about relationship other than, you know, you put a condom on to protect yourself from STDs or whatever, and or getting pregnant. And that's what, you know, they teach us, like you said, in school. We're taught about education, but we're never taught about our feelings or how to communicate those feelings or how to experience those feelings with another person. I mean, for me, I had, you know, when I was younger, I had absolutely no idea what sex was, like no idea. I just, you know, I had this idea of sex that was very unhealthy that I was taught at a very young age. And then, you know, it took me years to really go, oh, wait a minute. You know, this has got nothing to do with what I was thinking about. So,
yeah. You know, and yeah, we all have different experiences. But, you know, I remember, like, for me, when I first started having sex at 14, sex wasn't about me, you know what I mean? It was about attention. It was about making somebody like me. I didn't have an orgasm. I had my first orgasm by myself because I was like, all right, I'm having sex. I'm doing this whole sex thing, and I don't get it. It's not working. So I remember very clearly, you know, I won't get into too much details, but I tried to figure it out. I'm like, all right, I got to figure this out. And I did. And I gave myself my first orgasm, and then I didn't have another one for, like, ever after, because it was just so, I was so uneducated and so unaware and so insecure and so lost.
We're not taught anything about our bodies or, you know, how to connect.
No idea,
I think it's the connection. How do you connect? You know, it's sort of like, I think, you know, male or female, we kind of thought, you know, I think especially for women, we kind of thought, you know, that that for us to be valuable, we need to be sexual. And what, you know, valuable and sexual means pleasing another, whether it's what we really want or don't want. It's just kind of putting ourselves in that situation, and it gives us value if we're wanted sexually. And then I think for men, and it's hard for me, I can't speak for men because I'm not a man, but for men, they're taught, you know, it's as, you know, your value is as many partners you could have, or, you know, conquests, or, you know, you know, if you're with the prettiest girl or whatever that, you know, whole scenario is about. But a lot of pressure on them to be men, quote unquote, act like a man. And, you know, just a lot of talk about sex in an unhealthy way, you know, on both levels, where you're talking about masculine and feminine. And when we're talking about masculine and feminine energy, we're not talking about the sex of male or female. We're talking about an individual. Can we talk a little bit more about that? Actually, we're at the half, and I'd like to open up, if we're going to have some people call in, I'd like to do that. But maybe when we come back, let's take a little break, and then we can come back and see if we get some callers with some questions about Tantra who have specific questions for you. And in between that, we can talk a little bit more about the masculine and feminine aspects. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to take a 5-minute break, and we'll be back. All right. I'm going to put you on mute now. Okay?
Okay. Yep.
All right.
Thank you for taking that short break with us. We're back, and this is your host, Laura Ezekiel, on Exploring Energy Radio. Tonight, we're talking to Candace Marie of Doorway to Bliss in New Hampshire. She is a Tantra instructor and certified in the sacred tradition of Tantra energy work. She guides her clients to experience self-fulfillment, intimate honesty, and a blissful life. We're going to bring Candace back onto the show now.
I'm here.
Hi, Candace. Okay. I want callers to know if you'd like to call in and ask some questions to Candace. The number is 917-889-2854, and we are open right now to questions and comments on the show. Again, that number is 917-889-2854. In the meantime, Candace and I were going to discuss a little bit more about feminine energy and masculine energy in the individual and not as the male or female sex, and what that actually can look like or what that actually means. So if you want to start with that, Candace.
Well, goodness, I don't even know how to, like, go on and on about that. I can feel like I could go say a few things. It's just everybody, like, we define ourselves as one gender or another gender. But the reality is we have energies of both those genders inside of us. And we're becoming more and more aware of this now because, I mean, now there's people who identify, I mean, who are born in the wrong body. Their physical body is one thing, but their energy is of another. They feel like another. But they also do have the energy that itself of masculine and feminine. And then a lot of people are also identifying as gender flexible or androgynous. They're recognizing that they have both masculine and feminine energy in us. Some of the traits they'll talk about, like one of the breaths we do, we talk about Shiva and Shakti. Those are Tibetan or Hindu gods and goddesses. We use those two names a lot in Tantra. And one of the breaths we do is summoning forth masculine and feminine energy. Feminine energy is like Mother Earth energy. They say it's kind of like a I always forget this part. It's a cool energy, and they associate it with the colors like blue and silver. And then masculine energy, father sky, we often refer to the sky as, you know, masculine energy, and it's like an electric energy. It's red, it's gold. And if you think about the traits of those colors, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's that kind of those colors really say a lot about the energies themselves. And you can see how anybody can really relate to, you know, being masculine or feminine. Some of us just tend to be more in one of our, you know, one side more than the other. But like the breaths that we do, it's the cobra breath. There's several levels of cobra breath. And every time we do cobra breath, we work with our masculine and our feminine energy to bring it into balance. And we do work with our spine, the different sides of our spine and the center channel of the spine to bring the masculine and the feminine together.
Nice. So, again, when we talk about this is interesting to me because I've always seen myself as androgynous, and but you know, my personality tends towards the masculine, but my desire is to be in the feminine creative. So I kind of feel like that balance is, I kind of feel like right in the middle somewhere right in the middle, but able to explore both aspects in a way that, you know, I allow myself to be whoever I choose to be and how whatever that looks like. I don't box myself in anymore, which I had at one point because I was very afraid of that feminine side. I was afraid of it because I was taught that the feminine was weaker. And I think that I needed to be strong in my life. So I went to the strength side. The stability. Would you say that masculine is stable? Or is it?
See, I personally have a hard time with associating certain traits to one male masculine or feminine, even though they will say, you know, they do say, you know, feminine energy is creative energy, like, and then, like, so we're like, we're the feminine, we're like, oh, let's do this, let's do that, and the masculine comes in and just supports, you know, and but, so, yeah, it would be more stable, you know, they would say that it's like they just, they stand there and they hold space for us and support us and creating, you know, we create, we have the ideas, we create it, and they just help us put the ideas together, so to say, and, you know, centering us, and I personally, I have a really hard time with that, with those, you know, defining masculine and feminine as, you know, masculine for this and feminine for that. I don't do well with gender-specific or, and it's hard to say gender-specific, and I think that's just because of the common misconceptions of gender being associated, like, you know, men are masculine energy and the gender of women are feminine energy, so that means that what you associate with one energy doesn't happen for the other. So it's just one of the things I struggle with because we all have it, you know, we all have
masculine well, we're talking,
and feminine energy.
We're talking about the masculine and feminine within an individual. So male or female, whatever your sex is, really is a moot point because the energy still belongs within the body. It's still part of any individual person, masculine and feminine. In that respect, in an individual, and we can use me as an example again, for myself, the feminine or the masculine has always been just a little bit stronger in me as far as being in the forefront. It doesn't mean that that's all there is to me. And that's, I'm kind of bringing it up for people to remove the stereotype and to remove the actual what's on the outside, whether you're quote-unquote male or female on the outside, what's on the inside with the balance of masculine and feminine. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's
the reason why, because I babble and it just comes out. So, but the whole idea of, I liked the way that you described the colors and the coolness of the feminine. You know, I wonder if, it's like using the word sex or sexuality and having people have this very defined definition, defined idea of what that is, and then using the words feminine and masculine and having them see male or female without the
saying. And that's what happens to me, even though I'm aware that's not what we're talking about, but because of, that's just, you know, I mean, it's almost like using the word God. You know, I say the word God, but I'm not really referring to what everybody else thinks of as God. And so it's even, you know, even though I'm aware, like I said, I even struggle sometimes with the whole masculine and feminine energy kind of thing and labeling because of the association with energy and gender. You know, energy isn't gender.
Right. So energetically speaking, masculine and feminine aspects can sometimes, I mean, we use words. I mean, there's no way to get really around it. How do we communicate? Right now we communicate with words still and putting labels in words to things. I mean, how often do we say it, right?
I was just imagining how we would communicate without words. That's why I was laughing.
We couldn't have a radio show, but we can do it. It would be fun. And I just sit here, and then people would just pick up my energy vibe, and they'd hear it.
Yeah.
So, which might be a little rough.
We do talk a lot about wordless communication. You know, there's a lot of communication that happens without words, but not on a radio show.
Absolutely. And body language.
Mm-hmm.
What about body language? Is that something that people pick up as couples when they read each other? Do they pick up on body language and we have some type of idea of what?
It depends on the individual. It really depends on the individual. Some people, especially somebody with, you know, PTSD or trauma, they notice everything.
Yeah,
you know, they're very hyper aware. They notice everything, every little change. Mm-hmm. They can read people like nothing. So, you know, it really depends on the individual. But, you know, the communication thing is just being conscious, you know, being conscious of your words, being conscious of your posture, your stance. I know in my last relationship, if we were having a disagreement of some sort and it was escalating, I could not continue the conversation if, like, say we were in the car or we were standing. If I was sitting with him next to him or face-to-face, I'm able to communicate effectively. We all have our own ways, you know, that work for us, but there's certain positions, and, like, honestly, I can't, I get angry. I just, if I'm, like, sitting next to you or standing, you have to be in a relaxed, calm, just kind of, like, and looking into one another's eyes. It's really, really hard to think about whatever your partner just did to piss you off when you're looking into their eyes. Because this is what we were talking about earlier, going beyond the physical manifestation of the individual and into the essence of who they are. It's another great thing about Tantra. That's learning how to connect with the essence of the individual, of ourselves, of our partner, that baby inside them, you know, that pure energy that came out of the womb. That's a real great way to de-escalate something going on in your relationship, you know, gazing into the eyes, seeing them as a baby, you know, go beyond the physical manifestations, because we are not our physical manifestations. We are not our behaviors. We are not our words. We are not our actions, you know.
Absolutely. that's a really, really good aspect there that you, and I'm coughing now, so I'm sorry if everyone's hearing me coughing. I'm trying to avoid it.
Doesn't it?
Oh my God, it's terrible. But I like that idea of, because often when we're in a disagreement with someone, we avoid the eyes. We avoid the eyes and looking into their eyes and making that connection, because what we're feeling, we don't want to feel, so we pull away and maybe even look in the other direction or look at the floor. We're not really connecting with that person, because when we're in anger, we're kind of scattered and all over the place. So at least that's how I feel when I'm angry. I hate it. I dislike it, I should say.
Yeah, anger is one of those things that we all have, and I struggle with it, even though I know I'm supposed to allow myself to feel it. Like, feeling is different from acting it out, you know.
Right.
Like, I personally, if I catch myself getting there, I just need a break. Like, I need to step away. I need to, like, basically get out of the energy space, you know. Another thing about when I feel it escalating, I can't be too close in physical distance to the individual. Something about just that I feel like they're invading my space, and I need my space in that moment to, like, you know, not be mad.
Well, you know, it makes sense that, you know, we're putting out this energy around us, and it's vibrational. And everybody else is putting out their energy, and it's vibrational. And we're connecting the energy together when we're in physically, we're close proximity to each other. We don't have to even be that close. We're still picking up each other's energy all the time. And when that energy is calm and balanced in a good place, or it's happy, or it's whatever you want to call it, you know, it's nice to be around. And then when it's not really nice to be around. It's like, you know, you're feeling them and you're feeling you, and you're both upset or whatever. And taking that little bit of a break or pulling away is natural. But it still has to be addressed. And I think that's what some people go ahead after that and just ignore it and not really look into each other's eyes and say, hi, we just had this experience, and let's heal it, or let's acknowledge that we at least had it, and let's look at each other as human beings and spiritual beings, and remind ourselves of who we are.
You don't want to ignore whatever the issue was. You still need to communicate about what happened, but take a moment to put the manifestation of this individual, the behavior of this individual, aside, and connect on a soul level. And then you can revisit, because you're like, okay, they're not their behavior. I don't hate them anymore. I really don't like what they had done or said, or, you know.
Which is, if you're not educated, then in this way of communication, you're not going to know to do, because we're not taught, you know, look at each other's souls.
No.
You know what I mean? We're taught, you know, if somebody does something, you know, eye for an eye, or we're taught, you know, don't take that or don't do this, or, you know, there's a lot of miscommunication just in general with people, because I'll say apples and you hear oranges. It doesn't, you know, it depends on the situation. So soul to soul is pretty deep, and it's a whole different ballgame.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole different way of communication.
Yeah, it allows us to just slow down and like, all right, just take a break here.
I like that. I like it a lot. I mean, you know, even as much as, like, we sit and we do our energetic work, or we talk to people and we're able to counsel them, and we have to kind of pull it back sometimes and look at how are we doing this in our own life.
Yeah.
And remind
ourselves,
the
soul-gazing thing is great for self-work, too. I mean, Louise Hay is big on it. She calls it mirror work, but,
absolutely.
You know, looking into yourself is very, very powerful.
There is so much that we can do to help ourselves, and I think that Tantra can be, and it's out there as another tool in your box of life that you can use to heal and develop yourself energetically and individually, or as a couple, or in your sex life. I mean, it's really, it has so many aspects to it. And
as I said,
you know,
it has a key to everything. You know, Tantra really has something for everything. That's why I went with the whole new theme of Doorway to Bliss. And the keys, there's so many different keys, there's so many different tools, practices, and you're going to find the ones that work for you, but if Tantra is full spectrum, you know, there's so much.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, I enjoyed this aspect of, you know, spiritual healing, and it helped me a lot, the knowledge, and I'm going to put it out there one more time for callers if they want to call in with questions for Candace Marie. It's 917-889-2854, and you can find her also at templeobliss.com. That's the way to get in touch with Candace if you'd like to learn more about what she offers as well as in her practice, and what if you have questions that you don't want to ask on the show, that's perfectly fine to contact her there. So that still works for you, right? TempleOBliss.com?
Yep, Candace? Yep, that's still it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we'll give this about maybe 10 more minutes for people to call in, if that's okay with you. And
Yeah,
that sounds great. So we're going to tell us a little bit about the transition of your business and what's going on right now. So when people call and get in touch with you, they know where to go as far as information-wise, because it's going to be changing soon. The name again?
Yeah, it's going to be Doorway to Bliss.
Right.
The thing is, there's another Temple of Bliss out there, and they've been around for 20 years.
Oh, okay.
And they have individuals that advertise on their website that are kind of all over, but primarily on the West Coast.
Oh, I see.
So, yeah. So I'm taking it as a name. It's going to be Doorway to Bliss, and I think my website is doorwaytobliss.com, but just stick with Temple of Bliss for now. I'm relocating to Manchester.
All right.
But I still offer, you know, Skype sessions, phone sessions. If you want me to bring a class to, you know, your studio, your workspace, your, you know, your home, I can do that as well. I have other people I work with. You know, I could do a couple sessions with another individual or just me. And my new space is great. It's going to be right downtown in Manchester.
Nice.
So, really, really excited about that.
Manchester, New Hampshire. Yeah,
Manchester, New Hampshire. Oh, yeah.
So that's awesome.
Yeah,
so new and exciting things. And do you have any other type of, like, Facebook page where people can go to learn more about Tantra?
Yeah, I do. Well, I have a meetup group because I do groups and events as well. And it's, you know, meetup.com/templebliss-NH.
Okay.
So
if they just search
Temple. There'll be a link to that from my website, too.
Right, and again, your name is Candace Marie, to make sure. they're
yeah,
finding the right person.
My Facebook name is Candace Marie, but I have a business page, and it's just Temple of Bliss.
Nice. Okay. So people can find
you
on Meetup,
Facebook. Yeah, I don't
know what
the address is, though.
If they search Temple of Bliss, or Temple O Bliss on Facebook, is it O?
No,
see,
that's only the website.
Okay.
Yeah, the website is Temple of Bliss. But anytime you Google, like if you do Temple of Bliss NH or New Hampshire, that'd be the easiest way to find anywhere I'm connected. But you can find the link to my Facebook and to my Meetup group right on my website, and my phone number and my email. And I don't have my Skype up there yet because I really don't want people calling me at random.
Right. No offense, right? No offense. Well, no.
I don't want you to have access to my camera.
You have to make an appointment, and there's a way to do that. And, you know, it's professional and it's a business, so they need to contact you and set up that time with you. And so it comes up on Facebook as Temple of Bliss and Blind Visions. So that's your page.
Yeah, I do the readings now too. So. Yeah.
Okay, great, nice. So, did you want to talk a little bit about the readings or?
It's interesting as I started doing it, you know, because I'm legally blind, and I knew I had it in me, I've done it. You and me were fooling around one day, and you just asked me to read you, and I saw that. Whatever that class that you were going through, some vision from
Michelle's
it, and I've
deck,
never I've never seen it before, and so I've been doing the readings, and it's been going really, really well. And I was struggling with depression for a little while. The life was just I wasn't in the right place in my life and in relationship, and I'm transitioning out now, and it's amazing. It's so amazing when we follow our hearts, our guts, our intuition, our bliss. We are capable of so much more. When I do readings now, it was clear before, but it's even clearer now.
Nice.
My readings that everybody asks, everybody wants to know, where are you getting the answers from, or how are you doing it? And I just kind of, I don't have a specific person or a guide. I ask and the answers come through. I don't try to figure out where they're coming from.
Right.
They just come through. A lot of times with the visuals, I see a lot of visuals, and then sometimes I have no idea what it is I'm seeing, and then I just have to explain it, and I do a lot of writing as well. And the coaching, you know, it always seems that there's a need for coaching, and there's always a use for one of the tantra techniques or practices
to
help somebody in.
Absolutely.
Whatever reason it is that they're seeking answers, you know.
Well, it all stems from energy. So
where
we get our information is from vibrational energy, and where we get, you know, our healing is from vibrational energy, and you know, our coaching comes from life experience in the physical. So it's kind of a nice little package.
I
think that's
everything.
Great.
Yeah,
it's very
intuitive.
Right. Right. That's what I call intuitive coaching when I do it. And so, you know, if people want to come to you for intuitive coaching, they can do that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I just wanted to get that out there for you. So it's been about 10 minutes. And if you're good with everything we've gone over, is there anything else that you'd like people to know about your practice or tantra or...
No, not really. You know, if anybody else has any other questions I could call, I know there's no way I could touch on every subject line or area of life or existence that Tantra ties into. You know, it is that broad. But I think we've really, really, we've dabbled deeply in discussing Tantra.
I think we did a good job.
Sure.
I think so. Yeah. So thank you very much for coming on the show, and I'm going to go ahead and it was fun, and it was very informative and educational for me as well. Is you know as much as I know the basic idea of what Tantra is, but I've never really delved into it. But I think that's something I'm going to be looking into for myself and healing some aspects of my life and bringing that spiritual and physical together in a better form. So thank you so much for coming on.
I will talk to you again soon. And again, you can find Candace on Facebook at Temple of Bliss and Blind Visions or templeobliss.com. Thanks so much for coming on the show, Candace. And I'm going to let you go now. And all right. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So we're going to be ending the segment with a channeled message, as usual. There's about 29 minutes left to the show. I think I'm going to end up shortening the shows a little bit, just because so lately we haven't had a lot of callers. People are shy or they listen to the show in archive, and that's fine. You can call in and speak with me. Candace is now off the show for right now, but you can call in and speak with me if you want. The number again is 917-889-2854. I think we had a great educational experience with Candace Marie, and again, you can reach her on Facebook at Temple of Bliss and Blind Visions or templeobliss.com on the net. So I'm going to ahead and bring myself into energy so that I can end with a channeled message, and that'll just take me a second to do. You might hear me breathing. Sorry, I do have a little bit of a cold. I've been coughing a lot today. A little stuffed up. Realize that you have been accepting the notion of regard to individual, but you have also been underestimating the idea of physical and intellectual context. This is a confusing one. Combined with unification. Okay, so I'm going to ask for a little bit more clarity. So I just want to get, they're struggling with my vocabulary. And so let's go ahead and take this a little bit deeper. Realize that you have begun to understand that physical as well as spiritual communication is essential to relationship. Thank you. That was a lot better. Your idea of the individual as one being and the idea of a partnership as two beings or more is slightly skewed to the point that all beings are within the realm of connection. So what they're saying is that in energy and in spirituality, we connect to all of ourselves, which is the whole, which is the one, which is source. So all that we, I get it. So energetically, how we are as human beings, energetically, and we don't think of ourselves a lot as energetic beings. We think ourselves as flesh and blood, and that's who we are here in this experience. But energetically speaking, what we're doing is connecting to all persons constantly. We're constantly connecting. So that's where we're at with this channel right now. Benefit from the idea that you have always been connected, that you shall remain connected, in that your idea of that connection shall shift and change as things shift and change around you. Knowing the self is important, and knowing how to operate the self within the human form is again important. Realize that your being, your energetic being, is infinite, and that you hold the key to your own success. The idea that another can discover for you who it is you are, or lay down the path for you, or bring forth the energy that is necessary for transformation is understood as false, and your acknowledging the truth of the self is most important in this transformation time. Understand that you have been under influence of high energy fields, in that your ability to
create from these fields of energy is paramount. Your idea of distress is one of necessity, so that you may grow and change through the aspect of adversity, feeling the enormity of the past traits coming through and developing new ideas and expressions. Okay, so what I'm getting out of this is that a lot of people have been feeling physically, mentally, emotionally, they've just been feeling like they're going kind of through the ringer. And us getting colds or getting worn down or just more emotional upheaval, changes in our life to happening so quickly, and everything seems to be having a domino effect. It's like just one after the other after the other. And I have divine love around me, so I'm comfortable with saying this, but this is really a time for introspection and idea of what is happening within, because it's not external. And I think that for me, I've been looking externally at what is causing this upheaval within the self, but truly it is about ourselves, and the upheaval is happening so that we can experience something more than what we are. I can tell you that. It's just us expanding in knowledge and in action and creating for ourselves what it is we truly want. So all this stuff comes up within us for us to heal. And it's amazing that we have this coinciding with the idea that we have so many healing modalities out there that people are not really aware of. So many ways to heal ourselves, and it's truly about ourselves taking the opportunity to heal and to bring ourselves to a place where we're encouraging each other and developing ourselves in a way that aids all that we're in contact with, not just the individual. And that's what I'm getting out of that channel. But I just want to allow for a little bit more information to come through. Be aware that your identity is important. However, your belief in the self is most important. The idea that you can develop into a better you is always there, but you seek to ease pain through outside means. It's really coming in rough. Let it be known that you have crossed this path many times where you have given up and felt failed, but your opportunity arises again for you to seek more justice, more deliverance, and more opportunity for faith and healing. Examine the footing that you are on. If it crumbles, you could fall, but understand that you also may find a net there to save you. There is no reason to fear the pit. It is only a part necessary to achieve the enlightenment. Okay, so what they're saying is that we all stumble and fall sometimes, and, you know, having faith that we'll be able to find our way back up again, that someone will catch us when we fall, or that we're able to crawl out of the pit ourselves, or that something is coming for us that is going to bring us into that point. The enlightenment is not what happens after we crawl out of the pit. The enlightenment is the fact that we know that we can, that we have the strength to overcome, and that we have the strength to find the way to where we want to go. And it's questioning, it's where do you want to go? I think that's really the question we should all ask ourselves right now is, what is it? I mean, it's driving me bananas, I can tell you that my heart is telling me that it needs to expand. It needs to expand. And physically, I'm really suffering with this kind of idea that my body just doesn't want to do anything that I want it to do. And inside, I feel like I need to expand further and further and find out what that's about. But my physical body doesn't feel quite ready. So that balance that we're looking for, that spiritual and physical balance, that can come through meditation. It can come through healing work. It can come through Reiki. It can come through Tantra. I really think that Tantra is something that can heal very deeply and something that we should all consider looking into, just because there is so much that we've missed as human beings on the energetic level of sex and sexuality and creation through sexual energy. And it doesn't have to be sexual. It doesn't have to be physical. It's a combination of using the energetics of your body, whether that be, you know, your brainstem, your spinal cord, where all the electricity is, and also using the vibrational energy of the universe to create from. So that's going to do it for tonight. I'm going to end the show a little bit early. And I thank everyone for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show, and I hope it was educational. That's about it, and I will see you next time.